Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
This is episode number 58, and today we are talking about a movie that is free to watch through the end of June, and that is Just Mercy, starring Jamie Foxx, Michael B. Jordan, and Brie Larson. Any streaming service, you can watch it. I watched it on Amazon Prime. Katie, I don't know which one you used.
I did too. I used my friend's Amazon Prime.
Very nice. It's on free on YouTube, also iTunes, you know, Google Play, lots of different places. So you can check it out there if you haven't seen it yet, but we're going to be talking about that movie today. And we don't really have any news or corrections, which is great. So I just wanted to say, how have you been during the past couple of days since our last recording before we get into, you know, what we're going to recommend people to watch and listen to right now?
You know, Jared, it's very nice of you to ask. I would say 10 times better than I did last week. Last week was low. I was just so depressed about the state of the world. And I was just telling you before we started recording about Trevor Noah's message that has gone completely viral. But he is such an eloquent speaker. I would highly advise anyone who likes Trevor Noah or cares about what's going on right now. It's 18 minutes long. It's on YouTube. It's definitely worth 18 minutes. You could watch it while you're making breakfast or something. Okay. But
yeah,
everything he said was great. But what he said echoed a sentiment I had had. I do not think everything is fixed, but I always err on the side of optimism. And last week it was almost impossible for me to do so. But he said something about the way people are protesting and the way he said, I've never seen people condemn something so immediately and so many people do it my whole life. And I was like, I completely agree with that, which just that alone, although we haven't fixed everything, George Floyd should never have died. All these people in the Black community should not have died.
Yeah.
I agree with him that we have made strides. Like, this is, I would rather be alive in this time than any other time because we are getting better. It just takes a while.
It does.
So I loved that. And it's given me a lot of hope, and I've been going outside. The weather's been gorgeous. So
that's been great for walks.
I'm so glad. So you're doing okay as well? I should ask you.
Yeah, I'm good. We've returned to the office. So we're all kind of back in the office for our regular work days now. So we're a pretty small company, though. There's still only like 15 of us. So it's not like a large group is gathering. And under the governor's recommendations for the state of Indiana, you're allowed to have that many people gathered in one place. So we're back in the office, but it's been fine and getting back to normal, getting back in the swing of things. I didn't realize how much free time I had when I was, you know, working half the day at the studio and half the day at home. It's just like, you just have more time to do things. Like, you can run a little laundry while you're working, or, you know, work, you know, if there's a
laundry's been big.
If you have a little break in between tasks, you can, you know, work on something, but at the office, you can't really do that. So just getting used to that schedule once again, which has been okay. So, but yeah, I've been good at everything else, which is great. So, and with that, we'll kind of move into some of our recommendations of just things that we've been doing this for the last couple of months, just things that we're watching and reading right now during this time of coronavirus when you can't really go outside and go a lot of places. I feel like we've been consuming a lot more media, movies and TVs and books, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, Katie, I know you have another book that you have been reading that is from Book of the Month. They do not sponsor this podcast, but as we've said before, if they would like to. Also, I'm sure my phone is listening to me because since we talk about it on this show, my Facebook feed is now filled with ads for Book of the Month. So my microphone is totally listening.
Hey, if you ever want to join, let me know, because I get a code. So, but I love Book of the Month, highly recommend it. And you can skip too. So if you're like, I can't read a book this month or I don't want to, you can skip it. Anyway, I love Book of the Month. Yeah, I feel like Tom Hanks, Book of the Month, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, they should all sponsor, and the Oscars should sponsor this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, those would all be good because we talk about all those things quite a lot.
Yes. But thank you for asking. The book I'm reading now, so this is all pretty timely. I'm reading a book called One to Watch. It's by Kate Stayman London. This is her debut book. It is perfect for Bachelor franchise fans. If my parents are listening, they are appalled that I have loved the Bachelor franchise forever. However, I specifically wanted to mention this because the Bachelor franchise is under serious fire right now, which I am loving. because of their lack of diversity on the show. And it's long overdue, okay. Jared. They do not have other diversities. They don't have anybody that has more than 4% body fat on that show. Women usually don't have short hair. It's like, there is one type and that is what is acceptable on that show. So as much as I love the drama and consider it full trash that I watch without cease, I do not admire the show runners or how they present that show. So I'm actually really glad that they're kind of in hot water now. But the book is, it came out at a perfect time because the story revolves around a plus size blogger. So very much like an influencer now. And she, since she is plus size, she like, she writes some article and people get really upset. So then they're like, you should be on the show. And it's clearly labeled differently, but it's after the Bachelor franchise. It's called Main Squeeze is what the show is called. And so she's dating people and she specifically okay. requests diversity. And the whole thing is just about different body types, different races and stuff. And this book came out, I mean, this would have been probably, I'm sure, published right before COVID. So it just happens to be excellent timing because there's no way Kate would have known all this was going to happen. But it is such a really, like, I don't even want to say cute book. It's way, way better than I anticipated. And I have had a hard time putting it down so far because I'm so interested. And then the only other thing I've done, I haven't watched much TV this week. I mean, I'm still plugging through 90 Day Fiancé, but I also wanted to, I wanted to take seriously what people were saying about educating myself on race and how I can support the Black community. So I ordered 5 books. They are, this is another thing that gave me hope, Jared. Almost every book, no, every book I ordered was on back order. Okay. So only one of them have shipped since I ordered it. The rest, some of them aren't even going to be till like late June or July. And this is from okay. Amazon. So it made me feel good that people are taking this seriously enough to order the books. And yeah. if you looked at like at some point last week, the top 10 on Amazon, the books were all about race.
Okay.
So that's a great sign to me.
Yeah,
but
it is.
I ordered. So you want to talk about race, white fragility, Between the World and Me, Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America, and The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. So I'll definitely keep you posted as I read them. I think they'll be heavy, so I probably won't be able yeah. to read them one right after another, but I'm definitely going to read them ASAP once I get them.
Okay, cool. Very nice. So I've still been reading the same 2 books that I've kind of been chugging through. The Daily
That's
Show
great.
Book, which coincidence, we talked about Trevor Noah, and The Fifth Wave. And then I actually was going to tell you, I forgot to tell you this, I watched 2 Tom Hanks movies this weekend that I had not seen before.
What?
I know, I'm a tell big me. Tom Hanks fan, but I hadn't seen these. I had not seen The Money Pit and That Thing You Do. So I watched both of those this weekend.
Oh my gosh, those are his classics. The Money Pit is probably one of my parents' favorite movies ever. They said okay. that... I don't even think they relate to it. Like, I don't think they've ever lived in a house where they had to do all that stuff, but
yeah.
they think that whole thing is so funny. My dad talks about that all the time. So next time you see my dad, you'll have to talk to him about it.
Okay.
And I forgot to tell you, I also, I did want to include, I found this on accident, but Rotten okay. Tomatoes put out a list of the 110 important films about the Black experience. And just for fun, I love looking how many I've seen yeah. off a list. So I didn't write down the exact amount, but I'd seen quite a few, but there were a ton on there that I was like, oh, I've been meaning to watch these, but I highly recommend it. So if people, if you're not into reading, which I totally respect, if you care about what's going on in the Black community, but you want to educate yourself or at least see some kind of experience and movies are your thing, I would go to Rotten Tomatoes and check out that list because
okay.
it's a fantastic list. And I didn't look up all of them, like where they're available, because it's 110 options. I didn't want to that would have taken too long.
Yeah.
But yep. I'll definitely watch what I can and we'll share whenever I see them on the podcast as well.
Very cool. Very cool. So, and we should mention too, for the rest of this month, we're starting with this movie. We're highlighting movies that either star an African-American cast or are made by African-American filmmakers. So we're doing this movie. We're doing the new Spike Lee movie, Da 5 Bloods, which will be out on Netflix by the time you hear this. And then we're also doing The Help, which is on Netflix. So we're doing all 3 of those and Just Mercy, obviously, today. So that's kind of our next couple
yes.
of movies here on the show. And then the only other thing I've been watching is the show Shark Tank. My girlfriend yes. really likes Shark Tank. I hadn't watched it much, but she's been here hanging out for a few days, and I've been kind of sucked into it. If you don't know, Shark Tank is basically a show where they have a bunch of people that have been very successful on the business side of things, like Mark Cuban and mm-hmm. other people on there as well, and they're the sharks, and then people will come in and pitch their business ideas or product ideas and then try to get one of them to invest in their company. So it's interesting yes. to watch all the products and services people try to pitch, and if it's, you know, a good... And a lot of times they do invest, and usually at high amounts of money, like $250,000, $500,000, right. you know, that they'll give people for their companies. But then sometimes the ideas are just so outrageous that you're like, I don't think anybody's going to invest in that.
Right.
So, and it's really nice because you can watch, you don't have to watch the episodes in a row. That's not required. And then each time they do like a pitch, there's probably three or four pitches an episode. So even if you come in the middle of the episode, as long as you see the beginning of whatever they're pitching, then you can just watch it for little, you know, 10-minute segments at a time too, if you want. So it's very easy to just kind of, yeah. you know, jump in and jump out. It's not like you have to totally pay attention to it for long periods of time. So that's kind of what I've been
really good point.
Checking out.
I do like that show, but I'm the same. I haven't watched many episodes. It's yeah. certainly a show that's intriguing enough that when it's on, I'll watch it. Though.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And I think it's still on now. I'm not 100% sure. But
I think it is.
I think ABC still makes episodes of it. So with some different, the sharks, the judges, if you will, kind of switch in and out from time to time.
Right.
But yeah, it's still on right now. So, and some of those same people, a lot of the same people are still on there as far as the sharks. So yeah, it's interesting, especially if you're interested in like business stuff or entrepreneurial things, stuff like that. If you're interested in that type of stuff, you would really like it if you haven't checked it out. So that is what I've been watching and what we've kind of been reading. So with that, we'll move into Just Mercy, which was released on January 10th, 2020. And I wanted to say, we talked about this a little bit just before we started recording. I felt like this movie didn't really get the audience it deserved just due to mm-hmm. the time that it came out. So
yep.
came out right around, I remember it was limited release, like I think Christmas Day, and then went wide release a few weeks yep. later. And it came out right at the beginning of January, and you know, Star Wars was out, Cats was out. There were some other things that were out around then too.
Little Women, Parasite.
Big Christmas movies, and I feel like this just kind of got lost in the shuffle, unfortunately.
Cats.
Yeah, Cats. Of course, Cats. Who can forget Cats? I still haven't watched Cats, so.
I'm probably never going to watch it. You heard it
here. I probably won't, unless I just want to, you know, laugh at the screen for 2 hours, then maybe I will rent Cats from the Redbox. But I think the release date of this just hurt it a little bit. I think this would have been, if this would have come out when Harriet came out, like, I think that was what, September, October,
yes.
somewhere around there.
Yeah, when, I don't remember the exact thing. I was just thinking about that movie yesterday.
When there wasn't a lot of stuff.
I love that movie.
In theaters, I think it could have maybe had a little bit bigger audience for sure. So, but it's nice that it's free on streaming this month. So you can watch it again all through the month of June, completely free. Warner Brothers has made it free because of everything that's going on in the world right now. So
nice.
That's when it was released. It's rated PG-13. It is 2 hours and 17 minutes. IMDb is a 7.6 out of 10. And then Rotten Tomatoes, critics 83%, audience 99%. There is very few people that do not like this movie. And I know we're going to get into this a little bit more, but I know you and I, Katie, our expectations were definitely exceeded when we watched this movie. We thought it would be good, but it's like
definitely.
Really good. So I was
definitely.
Pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
I also wanted to say too about the rating, just to explain if there's, because I know I have cousins and stuff that are parents that listen to this.
Yeah.
Shout out cousins. But this, I would say, like, if you're trying to educate your children about the Black community, this is a great movie.
Yeah.
There is a very difficult scene to watch about the death penalty.
Yes.
So death yep. row. And then there are racial epithets too. So if there's children that you don't think you can't explain that language, or they're not used to it, or maybe they're 5. Probably not the best movie, but if you're trying to educate them about the experience, just know that those are the things, that's the only stuff. There's no, like, I wouldn't say there's graphic violence or anything like that. So that's good.
No, it definitely can get heavy at sometimes just due to its subject matter,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely, I think it's, if your child is of a certain age and like you said, you want to educate them or teach them about this situation, then this is, I think it's rated PG-13, but don't let that scare you from it being rated
right.
that. So It's definitely not like a super serious PG-13, like you said, with a lot of violence or sexual situations.
No sexual content.
Yep, anything like that. So if you don't know, first we'll do the box office before we do the synopsis. So domestically, it made $36 million. Then worldwide, it made $50 million. So again, I think the release date just kind of hurt that a little bit. It came out when a lot of big Christmas movies were still in theaters. And I think if it had come out a different time, it probably would have made more. And word of mouth, word of mouth was good on it, but I think it was just kind of got buried by some other stuff that was in theaters. So if you don't know, the synopsis is world-renowned civil rights defense attorney Brian Stevenson, and he is played by Michael B. Jordan, works to free a wrongly condemned death row prisoner, and that is Walter McMillan, who goes by Johnny D in the movie, and he is played by Jamie Foxx. So those are the two main characters. Brie Larson is also in it. We'll talk about her coming up in a few minutes. And first, we'll get into some critics' reviews of the movie. First, we have Richard Roper at the Chicago Sun-Times, who says, "A sobering reminder of a deeply flawed, socially unbalanced legal system that to this day often turns its back on persons of color who can't afford the legal defense they truly deserve." And that's kind of the whole part of the movie, is that Brian Stevenson helps criminals on death row, helps people in prison that can't afford good legal coverage. He went to Harvard. That's mentioned a lot in this movie. He's a graduate of Harvard Law, so definitely one of the most prestigious law schools in the country, and has decided to help people who, like we said, you know, can't afford a great attorney or things like that. So really a noble cause. And he's still helping people to this day, too. So this is based on a true story. And the real life Brian Stevenson is still helping out, too. So the next one is from Chris Hewitt of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, who says, "It's a tough-minded and hopeful movie because it is unusually interested in making us see difficult truths and care about people we might prefer to forget about."
Yes. And Jared, I noticed when I pulled that quote completely just at random, I liked the quote. I noticed it was from Minneapolis, which made me pretty sad because that's where a lot of this, what's going on right now in the world came from, was what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis. So I just thought how interesting that that was the quote that I pulled.
Yes. So, but that's a very good quote, a good summation about the movie as well. Next, we have Clarice Lowry of The Independent in the UK, who says, "It's steady and clear-headed, safe in the knowledge that truth is the ultimate humanizer," which is true. Everybody can unite around truth and a true story, and this is a true story, and those are really usually, I don't know about you, but I'm always interested more, I think, in true stories. I appreciate when things are written and are fiction and are made up. I'm not discounting those at all, but if something is true, I think that just gives it some more gravitas to it, more realism in the movie. So, and then finally, we have Anne Horningday of the Washington Post, who we talk about a couple times on this show. And she says, "From its smooth visuals and warm swinging sounds to its magnificent performances, Just Mercy is masterfully constructed to keep us inside a story that otherwise would be too brutal to bear." So, and she's right there, too. I mean, if the direction of this is really good, the acting is really good, which we'll talk about. But it is a difficult subject matter. It is not an easy subject matter to cover in a movie. It's definitely not like happy, cheery the whole time, for sure. So next up, we have the director of the movie, who is Destin Daniel Cretton, who was born in Hawaii and directed a couple of other things, Short Term 12 and The Glass Castle, which both starred Brie Larson. The Glass Castle is based on a book. I read the book. The book is pretty good. The movie I did not think was good as the book. I don't know if you felt the same way, but
I loved the book. Also quite depressing, though, if people, it reminded me a lot of the book Educated. I would say Educated was my favorite of the two, but The Glass Castle, like, if you are interested in what it's like to grow up impoverished because you didn't come from that, and also how to maybe get out of that situation or make the most of what you can, The Glass Castle is a phenomenal book. I did not see the movie. I kind of thought it would let me down, so I'm glad I didn't watch it, but I think it's on Hulu right now. So I have it in my queue, but I don't know if I'll watch it.
Okay. And then he also directed he's directing two upcoming TV series called Scenes for Minors and Tokyo Vice. And he was also a writer on both those films and Just Mercy. So he writes and directs and has some TV shows in the works right now. And before we get into the cast, we will take a quick break and then come back and talk more about Just Mercy here on the Silver Screen Podcast. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Just Mercy with Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, and Brie Larson. And first we will talk about Michael B. Jordan, who is the lead character in this movie, Brian Stevenson.
Oh, Jared, prepare yourself. because we're going to talk about Michael B. Jordan. Jared, I would just like to let you know this man is in my top 10. Not that I like to objectify people and rank men, but I'm going to put him in the top 10. He's been there for some time. he is best known for Fruitvale Station, Black Panther, Creed, and Creed 2. He has 6 upcoming projects, including Creed 3. Hot take, I'm not sure that that's necessary, but will I pay to see it? You bet I will. And Jared and I just looked. He is already set to star in an untitled David O. Russell movie. David O. Russell, of course, did Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle. And we looked at who is supposed to star in that project. And it's rumored to have Margot Robbie. Who else did we see?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Michael B. Jordan.
You.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
So, and you know, going to say, you know, in Creed 3, he's going to have his shirt off at some point. So it's going to be worth it for you.
We're going to have to talk about it. I thought this movie was so fair for Arjun and I, too, because he really likes Brie Larson. Like, okay. He thinks she's gorgeous. She is. But I was like, well, this is fair because we're finally watching a movie where both of us are kind of like salivating. But a lot of the updates on IMDb, Jared, I wanted to tell you, they don't even have dates next to them now.
Okay. They're just like,
which
nope.
that's not consistent for everyone. But like some of the ones for either Michael B. Jordan or somebody else I looked up, they just didn't even have dates anymore. It just said like pre-production or post-production and then nothing else. anyway, next up we have Jamie Foxx. He plays Walter Johnny D. McMillan. He, of course, won a Best Acting Oscar for the movie Ray, about Ray Charles. Fantastic movie. Very depressing, though. He is best known for Django Unchained, Collateral, and Dreamgirls. He also has 6 upcoming projects, including the Pixar movie Jared and I are anxiously anticipating called Soul.
Yep.
And he's also going to be in the remake of The Wild Bunch, which is a very famous Western I've heard my dad talk about multiple times. So he will be in that.
Very nice.
And lastly, we have Brie Larson, who plays Ava Ansley. She has also won an Oscar. She won a Best Actress Oscar for the movie Room, another super depressing movie. But I remember telling Jared that was like one of the best movies I saw that year, if not the best. It is currently on Netflix if you want to watch it, but it is really sad. So just prepare yourself. Do not watch it with children. But it's a heartbreaking movie, outstanding performances. She is, of course, best known for Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, and Short Term 12. And next she will star in Captain Marvel 2 that is supposed to come out right now in 2022. We will see. And I just wanted to point out 2 of the supporting actors. Anthony Ray Hilton is the character. He's played by O'Shea Jackson Jr., who is Ice Cube's son. He was also in Straight Outta Compton. But Arjun pointed that out to me. The minute, it was almost like he didn't even need to say, isn't that Ice Cube's son, before I looked at him and I was like, oh, that guy looks like Ice Cube. Anyway, it was like it happened at the exact same time. but he looks just like his dad.
Yeah.
And then I could hardly believe it. And then Tim Blake Nelson, I feel like so many people, you would recognize him, but I thought he was outstanding. He played Ralph Myers, who was a pivotal character in the storyline. Mm-hmm. But you see a picture of Ralph Myers in the credits and he had like facial tics, but also his mouth. He had, I wouldn't say a deformity, but a specific like mouth, facial expression,
yeah,
I guess.
Which they show at the end of the movie, and the real life person he's playing had that same thing.
Yes.
So yeah, he was
and
trying
Tim
to imitate
Blake
that.
Nelson, that acting was superb though. I mean, just saying this with acting experience, I don't know how he did that, held that those facial expressions, and also played his character with conviction and was so good at acting while also maintaining the physical stuff. So just wanted to give him a kudos because he was outstanding.
Nice. And we talked about on the last episode with Lakeith Stanfield how he's a great young actor. This movie has a lot of great young actors in it. Michael B. Jordan, Brie Larson, and O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Yeah.
are all on the younger side and are all great at their roles in this movie. So, and of course, some of them have been, you know, Brie Larson has won an Oscar. Michael B. Jordan has been nominated before. So definitely some star power in this movie for sure. And before we talk about our likes and dislikes, this is based on a true story. So we just want to talk a little bit about whether things in the movie were fact or fiction. Good thing is, most of the stuff in the movie is factual. So that's always a positive.
Yes, absolutely. I found a great article. Since this is so recent, there's a lot of articles written about this, but mm-hmm. I really liked one I found on usatoday.com. These are quick facts, and they do give you some great stuff, true facts at the end of the movie, but I thought this was interesting, so I tried not to include the same things. They're different from the movie. It is true that Walter McMillan was put on death row before he was ever convicted of the crime and before the trial began, which is not only illegal, it's just heinous to do that. So... Mm-hmm. Want to point that out. The trial, Jared, this is very disturbing. Only lasted for a day and a half. That's unheard of, especially for a murder trial. And there were multiple black witnesses who testified Walter had been at a fish fry all day, and they were completely ignored. Nobody cared about their testimony. Then this is also insane. This is a direct quote from the article. This is McMillan talking. He said, "It was ironic to have people in the community tell me, 'You're a lawyer. You should go to the To Kill a Mockingbird Museum.'" He said, "I had the same response every time. 'I'd love to, but I'm really busy freeing an innocent black man who has been wrongly convicted of a crime and facing execution.'" So it's a good reminder that the disconnect between romanticizing that story and indifference to injustice and a real wrongful conviction, he said, that very much parallels my story.
Okay.
So that happens in the movie where we see people were like, "Oh, you Harper Lee, she wrote that right down the road. You should go see the museum dedicated to Atticus Finch." And
yeah.
And honestly, that's on my list of things. There's not much I'd ever want to see, honestly, in Alabama. But it's good to know that that's there. But the fact that they're saying to a black man who's here to help another black man who's falsely convicted, like, "You should go see this museum about a white lawyer who was involved in a rape trial with a black man." Like, it's just, it's socially inept of them. So
yeah. Yep.
Very inconsiderate. Also, there is a strip search scene in the movie that we see, which you don't see anything inappropriate, just to warn people. And then there's also a scene where Michael B. Jordan's character is pulled over by the police at gunpoint, and they don't tell him why he's been pulled over, and mm-hmm. they're just there to search his car and try to scare him. Those things did actually happen to Stevenson in real life while he was there for the trial. And then we also see there is a 60 Minutes expose they do about the whole trial, just to kind of like get interest, see if there's any new tips, and just get notoriety for it. And that actually did happen in the 90s, and it did completely change the impact of the trial. Like, it blew okay. up after that. There was like new interest in the trial. Okay. Well, ultimately that was why they were able to reopen it and investigate. And in the end, McMillan ultimately spent 6 years on death row for a crime he didn't commit. Which is horrible, but great to know. If you can tell I use past tense, he did get out of death row. That's what the whole point of the movie. I think you know that yep. going into the movie yeah. too. So I don't know that that's much of a spoiler. And he and Brian Stevenson, I'm happy to say, they were friends until McMillan's death in 2013.
Very nice. So lots of factual things about the movie that happened in real life were portrayed in the movie, which is always good. And I did say that Michael B. Jordan had been nominated for an Academy Award. He has not been nominated for an Academy Award.
Thank you.
I thought
you read my mind, because I was about to say something about it. Because I looked last night. Okay. Yeah.
I thought he had been nominated for Black Panther, but he was not. I know there was talk when that movie was nominated for Best Picture that he might have mm-hmm. got nominated. And he was nominated for a lot of other things for that role right. in Black Panther, but an Oscar was not one of them. So,
and I know he got a lot of attention for Fruitvale Station when that came out. So I definitely think an Oscar is in his future, but I'm so glad you caught that, because I was just about to look that up.
Yes. So Black Panther, he won the MTV Movie and TV Award for Best Villain. He was nominated for a Critics' Choice Award. He was nominated for a Teen Choice Award. He was nominated by a lot of these like cities, critics societies, but was not nominated for the big one, an Oscar. So that was definitely in his future, though. I mean, okay. go ahead and lock that up. Something, he's going to get nominated for an Oscar one day for sure. So with that, we'll move into our likes and dislikes. We don't really have a lot of dislikes about this movie, so we're going to focus more on the likes. But this movie, as we said, mm-hmm. really exceeded our expectations. And the acting is really, really good in this movie. That was one of my main things. I think that this movie has the capability very easily to become like a Lifetime quality movie, just because of its subject matter. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a, you know, it follows kind of a boilerplate format of, this isn't the first time a court drama has been done or a real life, you know, wrongly convicted criminal story has been done or something like that. But the fact that the acting is so good and the direction is so good really propels this over the top. But I mean, all the performances in this movie are fantastic. There's not a bad performance, and everybody comes off as very real in this movie. I mean, at times I forgot that I was watching Michael B. Jordan or Jamie Foxx act, and I thought, you know, I was really connected to their characters, and I just felt their characters come through the screen. So there were times definitely in this movie that I forgot that they were actors and that they were, you know, it just seemed so much like they were portraying the real people that they were, you know, acting in the movie.
I completely agree with you, Jared. I thought the performances felt so natural that at times I almost felt like I was watching a documentary or something with the real people. The acting was unbelievable. And I think there were a lot of lines that even watching the trailer, you and I talked about how we weren't sure how the movie was going to be. Like, I remember seeing the trailer in late 2019, and there were a lot of lines that I thought, wow, that could have been really cheesy or overplayed and just melodramatic. And they did not do that. I just felt like these were real people. I believed what they were doing. I believed what they cared for. I just thought that was fantastic. The acting is the best part for me, really.
Yeah, the acting is really good. The direction, as we mentioned, is really good, too. Everybody definitely knows their characters and knows what roles they are playing and how to portray those very well. And like you said, we talked about the realism aspect of it, but everything really just feels human in this movie for sure. Like, it's just a real life story, but it's not. Sometimes with real life stories or, you know, based on a true story, they can become cheesy very easily. The actors can overact, and then it just kind of takes you out of the story because you're like, this doesn't seem believable. It doesn't feel real, but that's not the case with this movie. It feels very real and true to what happened during the time of that case and what was going on with that investigation and reopening it and everything like that.
Yeah. And another thing that I really enjoyed was that the entire character of Brian, he wasn't made up, but I love that everything about Brian Stevenson fought the stereotype about that area that we see in the movie. In that area, it's basically everybody's racist because it's the South, which I know not everybody in the South is racist. But in this movie, that's what they're portraying it as. And that all Black people are poor and they live in this one section of town and nobody cares about them. But I love that Brian Stevenson was a Black man who was educated, not only educated, but graduated from Harvard Law. And then he chose to go help this community where he knew he was going to face some pretty harsh critics and be judged and possibly threatened. And he was, but in the end it was all worth it. But I really like that the main character himself, or one of the main characters, really challenges that stereotype.
Also, I want to mention real quick, and we'll put it here in the likes category, but the reason Jamie Foxx was involved with this movie, who is a pretty big star for like this movie's budget as far as the price they had for the budget of this film, is because his actual father went to jail for 7 years and they gave him a 7-year sentence for $25 worth of illegal substances. So he had a very personal connection to it. He said, and this isn't a Deadline article, but Michael B. Jordan called him and said, "Hey, I'm doing this movie called Just Mercy. You know, it's based on a true life story, and this is the kind of the setup of it." And Jamie Foxx was like, "I definitely want to be a part of that. I definitely want to be involved with that project." And then that's kind of what got the whole ball rolling for him to be in this movie. So really super personal connection for him.
You believe it. You believe it in the film. And then the last thing that really stood out to me was I think I've harped on a lot of movies recently that there's no resolution, or there's a lot of storylines that you're just like, what happened to these people? Or did anybody ever come back and, you know, resolve that conflict? And I felt like this movie was so great. It ended, it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. I didn't think there was a lot of questions at the end. And I also do love when movies at the end also that are true, they give you like factoids at the end about like, hey, this is what really happened, or these people stayed friends. And I love that too. But I really appreciated that the storylines were all clearly resolved at the end.
That is a good point. It definitely wraps up the story and lets you know what happened to everybody and everything that occurred. So before we move to dislikes, I had two scenes that I wanted to mention in particular that I thought were just supremely acted and also very well directed. One of those is the very sad execution scene that happens in the movie, but the way that those actors handle that situation and the way that it is directed makes you very emotional. And the part where they're all banging on their jail cells with their cups, down to the man that is being executed down below, and they can hear him, and they're playing his song that he wanted to play before he passed away, and all of that. Just made that 10 minutes was very, very emotional for me, just to watch that. But credit to the actors and the directing of that whole sequence, because it's very tough to do that type of scene in a movie. But it was, that scene was, I don't know about you, but that scene was very moving for me, just in a very emotional way.
Totally agree. There's so a lot of movies, you know, I think everybody knows at this point, I'm very dramatic and emotive. And a lot of movies, I either cry or I laugh or I'm talking to the people in the movies. This movie, there were so many moments where I was just silent. And I did, like, it did make me cry, but there were moments where I just was like in awe of what was happening. And that scene, I think I was just staring open mouthed because it seemed so realistic. And also the injustice of it all. That man, he even said, I never meant for anyone to die. But then it brings up good questions about, is the death penalty still appropriate? Like, is this something we should be deciding for people on Earth, our peers? So anyway, it's just, I completely agree with you. That scene was so moving.
Yeah, just the scene right after that when Michael B. Jordan comes out of having witnessed that execution and talks to Brie Larson just about what happened. And he is very emotional in that scene, as somebody would be if they had just witnessed seeing that for the first time. And again, we talked about the realism of this movie, but going back to that, just plays that so realistically. And then the other scene that I really thought was great was the court scene at the end of the movie, when you do find out that Jamie Foxx is going to be, you know, a free man basically. But as the judge reads off the verdict, you can see Jamie Foxx start to get more and more emotional.
Yeah.
It just kind of builds up, and the camera's not like focused on him at all, but he's in the shot and it's a wide shot, and he starts just crying and then eventually just starts sobbing there. In court, because he knows that he is free. But the way that Jamie Foxx acted that particular scene and how it kind of built up over a few minutes, I thought that was just great, great acting by him in that, which makes sense. I mean, he's an Oscar winner, so that's to be expected, but very, very good acting by Jamie Foxx in that particular scene as well. So those are just two scenes I wanted to point out before we move to the dislikes that I thought were some of the better movie scenes that I've seen in the past couple months in a movie, honestly. They're just really well done. So a few dislikes here before we move into our grades. Very few things. One thing I know you wanted to have resolved is you wish you knew who committed the murder in the end.
Yeah.
No, but that doesn't really get addressed. It's not really covered in the film. But that is one thing I know that this film does a great job with resolution and clearing up storylines. But that is one particular storyline that doesn't get cleared up.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say about that either. You can't help if it's a true story if the murderer wasn't caught. And they even bring it up. It was just, I remember, like, if there was one thing I had to be like disappointed with, that's all I could really immediately think of, was just like, I hate that Walter was in prison for this long, and they, instead of spending time and resources finding the killer, they just kept him there unfairly. So
I know another dislike is the music in this movie isn't super noticeable. It's not like really obvious. I did mention the scene where they're all singing that song while that man is being executed, which
and
is one of your things that you liked.
Yeah, sorry, I jumped on.
That's okay.
The gospel music is fantastic. Like when they go to the church, and I understand why that's important. And those scenes were stunning. The music, I would rather listen to gospel music than a lot of things, but I felt like the rest of the music in the film, there was no like score, if you will, that they kept going back to that stood out to me.
Yeah, it was, if they used music, it was very much just underlying a scene. And a lot of scenes didn't, I don't even think they had music in them. Which wouldn't make sense for a lot of those scenes to have music. Like when Michael B. Jordan is talking to Jamie Foxx's character for the first time, that's a tense meeting. When he's talking to Tim Blake Nelson, the couple times he talks to him, those are also tense meetings where he's trying to figure out details. So there wasn't really a lot of times in this movie where you needed music because just of the situations playing. And you wouldn't have music like in a court scene either, because court's, you know, quiet. So those things all kind of make sense that there weren't music in those particular parts. So, and then your boyfriend also pointed out something in the movie that didn't really totally make sense.
Yes. I always ask if he has something good to tell me. He just said, but I completely agreed with what he said. I felt this way too. neither of us felt like there was a real sense of outrage in the town about Rhonda's death. So Rhonda is the young woman, the 18-year-old that's killed.
Yeah.
And Walter McMillan is falsely accused of her death. You know, we keep hearing the lawyer. He kept saying like, oh, the town is outraged. They're going to come after you. There was one threatening call to Brian Stevenson. But other than that, you never see anybody like, it's not like they come to the church and throw tomatoes at the door. They don't like come with pitchforks to the courtroom. I mean, you hear that there's all this rage and stuff, but you never really see the fruits of that, if you will. Like, you don't see any, there's not really threats. You don't really get to interact with her parents at any point. So I thought that was just interesting that we talk about this sense of rage that we never get exposed to.
Yeah, that is interesting. That point of the story is not really covered much as far as, you know, they say that Jamie Foxx did this murder and that it was a brutal murder and that it was very, right, you know, horrific for everybody involved that saw it. But they don't really, you know, they obviously don't find who committed the murder, but they also don't talk much about that family and what they're going through during this time and things of that nature, which is perfectly fine. I mean, it is a movie based on the lawyer and Jamie Foxx's character, so that's understandable that they can't cover everything, but that is one area that I thought too, the same thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, it's interesting that we haven't, it would be nice just to maybe get a scene or two of here's their family coping with the situation, or Brian goes and meets with their family or something, you know, something like that would have been nice for some more details there.
Yeah.
So, and then we already talked about the execution scene, which is very hard to mm-hmm. watch, but I think was important to put in this movie. The other movie that it kind of reminded me of that has a pretty intense execution scene is The Green Mile with Tom Hanks.
Yep.
That movie is also about a prison.
Yep.
And has very long, that movie's rated R, so it goes a little bit more intense into the execution than just Mercy does, mm-hmm. but that has a very intense execution scene as well. And this movie, I think it was good that they put that in there. I mean, they could have just shown him going down there and then not showed anything else. But the fact that they spent 15 minutes of the movie to play that whole sequence out and really show you what he went through and that emotional toll and the mental breakdown that he had, knowing the fact that he was basically going to die later that day and just trying to prepare that himself for that somehow. So I think that was important to include in the movie, even if it was difficult to watch.
Yep. Completely agree. I think it just makes you think about policies like the death penalty, and I think those things are very uncomfortable. I think all of the topics really discussed in this film make people uncomfortable, but that's what film is good for, and literature. Like, we have to expose people to those things so they have discussions and can improve the world.
Yes. So with that, we'll move on to our scores for Just Mercy. I think I went first last time on Uncut Gems. So Katie, if you want to go first this time, give your score.
Okay. I hope I'm not crazy, but this truly is one of the greatest films I've seen in a long time. I weighed it against some of the other ones. There were no glaring things in this movie that made me upset or felt unclear. I gave this a 97.
Okay, very nice. I'm going to go just a little bit lower than you, but still in the 90s. I'm going to do a 93 out of 100 for Just Mercy. The whole time, like, it was a longer movie, but I didn't care. I wasn't like on my phone. I wasn't checking what time it was. I was engaged the whole time it was on. So it really captured my attention and was very interesting. So very high scores from both of us for Just Mercy. And again, as we mentioned a couple times, it is free on streaming services through the end of this month. So check it out before the end of June. You can watch it for free, which is awesome. So, and the next movie coming up here on the Silver Screen Podcast that we are going to be reviewing is The Five Bloods, which is directed by Spike Lee. The synopsis is that four African-American vets battle the forces of man and nature when they return to Vietnam seeking the remains of their fallen squad leader and the gold fortune he helped them hide. And it is starring Chadwick Boseman, of course, of Black Panther fame, which Michael B. Jordan was also in.
Love.
And we'll be dropping, it'll be out on Netflix by the time you hear this, but when we're recording this, it drops on Netflix on Friday. So we'll be reviewing that coming up next year on the Silver Screen Podcast. And you can listen to the podcast a lot of different ways in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher. We're in all those places. And be sure to follow the show on social media. The links are in the description, but you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Podcast Silver, and then on Facebook at the Silver Screen Podcast. And our next episode will be The Five Bloods by Spike Lee.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.